Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hophead Said's Breweries Highlight. I'm your host, Curtis Taylor, and I have Brian Miller on the phone. Hello, Brian, and welcome to Brewery Highlights.
Hey, Curtis. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure, and I really appreciate you taking time, you know, away from your schedule, brewing, and everything to sit down and talk to me, so I appreciate that. Brian is the brewmaster at Bold City Brewery, which is located in Jacksonville, Florida. Bold City Brewery was handpicked by Hophead's Head readers to represent the Jacksonville Jaguars in this season's Hophead Huddle. For those of you who don't know, Hophead Huddle is a feature I write every week during the NFL season, and Hophead Huddle is part poll, part beer pairing extravaganza, and each week Hopheads predict, sometimes accurately, the winner of each game by picking the team they think has the best craft beer. I try to help them make informed decisions by describing some of the more unique beers and supplying beer pairing suggestions for each game. This year, I'm adding a little more content to each of the representative breweries by interviewing the head brewers from each brewery. And that's where Brian and Bold City Brewery come in. While you're listening to this podcast, go ahead and open up your browser and go to boldcitybrewery.com. There you can take a look at all their offerings as we talk about them. You can also find Bold City Brewery on Facebook at Bold City Brewery, or you can follow them on Twitter at Bold City Brewery. Okay, Brian, I got all the business taken care of. And whenever I interview a brewmaster, I always like to start at the very beginning. So are you ready? My first hard-hitting question here is, what is the first beer you remember tasting? We can go all the way back.
First beer, let's see. It would probably be a Yingling. My dad grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And even though he was living in Jacksonville, and at the time we couldn't get Yingling down here, he would get shipments of it from his family. And I mean, it was always in our fridge growing up, and I was probably, 12 or 13 when I had a sip of it. So that's the first spot that sticks out, the first time that sticks out in my mind of ever sampling or tasting a beer of any sort.
Well, how did you transform from what happened to from Yingling to brewing your first beer? Did you get started as a home brewer? Did you go right into commercial brewing?
No, I started as a home brewer, and the way I got into it was I had my wife and I have two kids, and they're 7 and 8, and I had my first son, and there's a transition I think for every father has to make to where, you're not going out with your buddies anymore. You're kind of staying at home more with the wife and the kids. And so I was kind of in that transition period. We were at the Home and Patio Show here in Jacksonville 1 year. And Ken, who owns a homebrew shop here in town called Just Brew It, was at the Home and Patio Show with some beer kits. And so I walked over there, and I was looking at him, and I said, what is this? And there was a carboy, and there was some racking equipment and stuff like that. And he goes, well, you can brew beer at home. And I said, well, holy smokes. I said, so you mean, I can go and just buy the products and brew them at home? And he said, yeah. And so he gave me a car, and I went to his shop. I think I was there the next day, actually. And I got started with that because I figured, well, I said, I can still have all my buddies over. I can still be at home with the wife and kids. And we can all hang out and have a good time. And so that's really how I got started into it. It was just, something for all of us to do at home and have a good time with.
So do you, are your kids interested, did they get interested in the home brewing? I'm a home brewer as well. And between both my daughter, who is 12, and my son, who's 9 now, they're both interested in the process, and so they like to hang out a little bit. They generally don't make the whole session just because the session is 6 hours, but I always find it interesting, their interest in, this process, this chemical and biological process that's happening. So do you find that with your kids? Are they interested in that at all?
Yeah, I mean, kids of their age, they have a short attention span. So they'll come out for a little while and go, hey, what are you doing? And here's what we're doing and this and that. But I think more or less, they're now more interested in our production brewery as it is right now. I know it's funny to watch them when we go into a restaurant. And the first thing they'll do is they'll look at the taps, and they'll go, okay, here's what they have on from Bold City. And if we go into a place that doesn't have it on, then they go, Daddy, I don't think we need to eat at this place. They don't have our beer on tap. And so it's funny to watch them like that. But yeah, I mean they're interested in the process. But more or less for them right now, it's just coming out there to hang out with Daddy for a little while, see what's going on. And there's not a lot of questions to ask. I think it's just really to be out there with me. And then, you know, they're off and back to playing baseball or football or video games or, you know, just hanging out with their buddies or whatnot.
Sure, yeah. I like, especially with my kids, and it sounds the same with yours too, is that there's a lot of information soaking in, you know, as they're watching you, as they're learning kind of secondhand about the industry, and to walk into a restaurant and see that there isn't any of, you know, your beer on tap, that they, you know, well, why isn't that? Why don't they have your beer on tap?
Right. Well, I mean, well, for us, you know, it's a lifestyle. It's the life that we live. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, to own a business and to be in that environment every day is, you know, I mean, you don't even look at it as a job, really. It's just, it's become a lifestyle for you, and everything kind of, you know, circles around that. I mean, when we go on vacation, a lot of our vacations are planned around, okay, well, which is there breweries close to it that we can go visit? Because we just, I mean, we love what we do. We love, you know, and just kind of leaving it to something else, but, you know, I'll go out to a restaurant or something like that, and I often get asked, well, why aren't you drinking Bull City? And it's like, number one, you know, I love my beer to death, and I drink it a lot, but it's like, I'm still a beer lover at heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want to taste what everybody else is putting out. And so, you know, it's just, we're, you know, beer is our life. And the brewery is our life, so the kids are around it all the time, constantly.
Well, that sounds a lot like my family too. We're leaving here in a week or so to go out on a vacation across the country, and I'm looking at where's the lunch stop, and is it close by? And then especially, you know, can I drive an extra hour at the end of the day to get to a city that's going to have a brewery that we can go out? So
exactly. You go, well, what beers do they have on tap? Okay, well, you know, can we drive a little bit farther and see if we can find somewhere we can better beer on tap? Oh yeah, we're the same way. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people are becoming that way. And mm-hmm. I think you see a lot of restaurants responding to that, because those restaurants used to have two or three taps, and it was Bud Light, Miller Light, and Coors Light. Now they'll have six taps, and then they'll have three, you know, they'll still have those three taps, but they put three other taps of beer on, craft beer on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you get from home brewer to head brewer? Do you prefer head brewer or brewmaster? What is your specific title? Do you have one?
People call me both, but I guess technically, you're supposed to go to school to get the brewmaster title, and I didn't do that. Head brewer.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Head brewer is, actually my official title now is director of brewery operations, but, you know, I went by head brewer for, how long was it? I don't know, probably 4 years.
Okay.
4 years. My assistant brewer is moving to the head brewer position now, but I'm still brewing probably, I don't know, once or twice a month at this point.
Okay.
I'm still very, very involved in the brewing operations of the brewery.
Okay. So then from home brewing to becoming the head brewer, what kind of path was that for you?
Well, I mean, I home brewed for about 4 or 5 years before we even thought about opening the brewery, and you know, learned so much. I think I did maybe two extract brews at home. I made such a mess in the kitchen, bottling, that my wife was like, "You're not doing this anymore in the kitchen." And so then my brother-in-law and I built a all grain system that was just a gravity fed system with a boil kettle on top, mashing in the middle. A hot liquor tank on top, mash mm-hmm. in the middle, and then a bowl kettle on the bottom. So we just got really involved in that, and we used to do it. I had the house we used to live in when I started. We had a carport, and we'd have it all going out there, and we had an older lady that used to live next to us, and I'm always surprised she never called the cops on us, because she used to peek through her windows, and I used to always think, I think she thinks we're making meth out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it was just, you know, you got the steam coming off the kettle there, but I don't know. I did that for a little while, and then you know, I was working at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida here in town, and you know, my mother was there, she was an executive there, and my dad was there as well. And it was just one of those things where in life you go, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life, or do I want to do something? You know, I mean, own your own business, do something, mm-hmm. do something yourself. You know, work for yourself. And so we kind of put together a plan and discussed it. And then we got into that. But I have a lot of people that ask me, going from homebrew recipes and converting them up, was that was at Tufts. At the time, I thought this is really tough, getting the right flavor out and this and that. But I had some really good people around me to be able to help me. Some people that had some commercial experience to help me with all the gotchas that are there and all the things that are there for the commercial side to make things easier on you, to alleviate some of that stress. And so we got through that. But the hardest thing was when we went from our 7-barrel system to our 20-barrel system, we had to convert those recipes up because we already had a product out there. When we went, you know, nobody knew our product when we first put it out. But then when we had to take it from 7-barrel to 20-barrel, and we had all our product out there, and we had to make sure it was spot on, that was really tough to do. And luckily, I think we did it. We did a successful job of it.
So you talked a little bit. So you reading through the website as well too is, you know, this is kind of a family adventure, more or less. That So your mom and your dad are there. You're there. Was this I don't know. I mean, did this take you a year to kind of plan out to go, or were you much quicker at getting everything?
No, I mean, within 6 months of starting the conversation, starting the discussion. We found a building, gotten our permit, and then, you know, found some used brewery equipment and got started.
Oh, very good.
So, really, I think it was in maybe March of 2008, and then we were started brewing in August, and then the taproom opened October of 2008. So our official opening is in October of 2008, but we'd had the building in May of 2008. And then had all of our brewing equipment and everything ready to go by August of 08, had our permits and everything, start brewing then.
Wow, that is pretty fast. I mean, I know some people here in California who are trying to start, and it can be a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, and we were lucky to find a building as quick as we did, and we didn't have to do a lot of renovations to the building. We did quite a few, but it wasn't a lot of really in depth. It wasn't, you know, ripping up concrete, putting in drains and things like that. The building we found already had drains in it, and so we were able to get started pretty quick with that. And then just at that time, there was a lot of used equipment on the market, and so we were able to get that in. And then our permit, I mean, it took a while. But it didn't take as long as some of them are taking nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think back then you could do the whole permitting process in 90 days.
Wow, yeah. The one of the stumbling blocks here is finding a landlord that will let you put in drains. And so, you know, there's several stories out here where you get really close, and then all of a sudden the building falls through because, you know, somebody decides they don't want you doing all these improvements on the building, floor drains, whatever it is. So. So the name Bold City, is there a hidden meaning behind that somebody from Jacksonville isn't going to know, or how did that kind of come about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think your Jacksonville natives are going to know exactly what it means. Mm-hmm. It's on the side of the police cars here. Still, we used to be known as the Bold New City of the South when we consolidated. I believe it was back in the 60s, consolidated the county and the city into one.
Okay.
And they've since changed that. I think I don't even know what it's like the gateway to Florida or something like that is their name.
Okay.
Which I think Golden City of the South is much sweeter. But so that's where the name came from, Bold City Brewery. And it was kind of our way of saying, you know, Jacksonville is a great city. Let's have a little more confidence in ourselves and kind of get back to where we were during that time period. I mean, where downtown was a bustling scene. And you had, you know, you had a lot of restaurants, a lot of bars, a lot of shops, in the downtown area. And Jacksonville was really a place to be, a place that businesses wanted to come, and open up. And it's like, you know, a lot of people kind of maybe have forgotten that or just kind of set it aside. Or some of those people who were here during that period of time have moved on. It's like, you know, we want Jacksonville to be this, but it's going to take all of us to make it happen. And so that was kind of our way of kind of saying, hey, you know, we can do this again, and let's get started. And I think, you know, Jacksonville's come a long way in 5 years. And I think you see a lot of new young businesses starting up, but they're doing fantastic things. We've got, off the top of my hand, I think, 7 breweries in town.
Oh, wow.
5 of them are production breweries now. And at the time, we had 2 brew pubs that are owned by, or at the time were owned by Gordon Beers. I think that's all Craftworks now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all you had in town. And there was a brewery downtown, River City Brewing. Now you've got, I want to say off the top of my head, it's 5 production breweries now. And so that's pretty awesome. I mean, for Jacksonville to have that here. And part of that, I think 90% of that is because the customers have responded to it and that's what they want.
Sure.
And they're loving it. And the other thing is, I mean, all the breweries in Jacksonville right now are brewing fantastic beer. And that makes a huge difference, for the customers here.
Yeah, it lifts everyone up. I mean, if they're all doing well and all producing
right.
good beer, it all lifts them. And I think you hit on a really great point, too, that it seems to be a common theme with craft beer. And when they move into a city, the city pride that they take in these, the breweries, the city pride that they take, and how... when they do take that pride in it, the whole community kind of gathers around and helps to lift them up as well.
Well, no, you're right. And that's, that's kind of related to a question I get asked a lot is, people ask me, I get in interviews and stuff, they'll go, well, do you think this craft beer bubble is going to pop? Or do you think it's a fad? And I always, say, whoa, stop, put on the brakes. I said, I don't think this is a fad. I said, I think what you're seeing right now is you're seeing us go back to pre-prohibition numbers in breweries and the way that things were when our grandparents were growing up. I mean, every town had a brewery in it.
Mm-hmm.
If not 1, 2, 3, or 4 or more. And that town rallied around that brewery. I mean, that's where your neighborhood meetings were, was in the brewery or in the tavern. And it's like, I think people are going back to that. I mean, history repeats itself. And maybe at this point right now, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. And that even goes back to our beginning conversation about going across the country, and what makes it so great on family trips now is that it isn't hard. It used to, 10 years ago, it was really hard to pick out a destination city, or it was harder, I should say, to pick out a beer destination city to stop in for the evening. And now you get there and within 30 or 40 miles, you've got your pick of places to go. And it's because of these local breweries and the community support that they're getting as well. And it makes it more fun for us too.
You're right. You're right. And I mean, they're bringing, the bottom line is they're bringing money into those small communities. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we hit just a tiny bit on batch sizes. You said you were at a 7 barrel and you've gone to 20 barrels. Is that what you...
Right. We're a 20 barrel brew house, 40 barrel fermentation tanks, and then a mixture of 40 barrel and 80 barrel conditioning tanks. And right now we're in the middle of an expansion. We're expanding into another 14,000 square feet of space at our existing location. And so once that's all said and done, any tanks we add from here on out will be 80 barrels plus.
So are you brewing double batches and filling those up? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And so your annual production just in... do you have a ballpark figure
this year so far? I don't know. Last year it was right around 7,500, I think. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was right around that number.
Okay. And then distribution, is there any chance of Californians getting a taste of this beer without having to travel to the East Coast?
I don't know. I mean,
probably not.
You never know. Well, I mean, we've got a brand called Kilowell Cream Ale. It's not, it's actually named after me. That's my that was my nickname growing up, was Kilowell. But we've always kind of made a joke of maybe just signing a distribution agreement somewhere over in California, maybe the Alaska coastal area to do that beer, because we get a lot of people that call and ask for it out that way, and so we think it would be good because there's no Kilowells, I don't think, on the East Coast, but I think there's quite a few of them. That's where their habitat.
Yeah, I live in Ventura County, and we get orcas this far south too. And so anywhere from California on up through Alaska, you're definitely going to see them. So
we've always thought it would be real well over there, but we've only distributed locally. And when I say that, I mean Jacksonville, Fernandina, St. Augustine, and then Gainesville. We didn't even go to Gainesville until last year. And then this year, we signed some distribution agreements down in Tampa. And we're just putting a little bit of beer down there, and that's mainly so we can do a lot of events with some of the other breweries down there in Tampa that we wouldn't be able to do if we didn't have a distribution agreement in place. And so once we get the expansion done, we'll kind of ramp that up and get some more beer heading down to Tampa in that area.
Well, and you kind of hit on something else, too, that I'm going to kind of go off on just a little bit with the you're talking about, you know, all the great beer in Jacksonville, and then you're talking about getting a distribution to go and work with brewers in Tampa. And one of the things that I love about craft beer in general is that, you know, it's hard to find people, brewers or breweries too, that don't jump at a chance to work with each other, that the competition stops at, the cutthroat kind of thing that you would think you would see in any kind of other business. It's more of a collaborative effort in craft beer. And, right. and I don't know exactly why that is or, you know, but it's just there. And it's a nice thing for all
well,
of us.
I think right now we're all fighting for the same goal. We're all working together to get better beer on the taps. And, you know, a lot of the breweries that have been around for a while, you know, we often have the discussion of, you know, eventually there will be saturation in the marketplace. And we just have to remember, you know, how it is right now, how it used to be kind of thing. And just remember that we're all still in this together when we reach that saturation point, because it will eventually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just got to make sure that we continue to play along and play nice with each other. Because when you start getting at each other's throats, that really hurts the consumer in the end.
Right. Well, I'm looking at, your beer styles here too. I'm clicking on the website. So as you know, some of the artwork is very, it's a stylized, but it's, you're going to notice these cans on the shelf.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The, Kendrick Kidd is, he does all of our artwork. He's awesome. He's fantastic.
And I said cans, but I mean, you'll be able to find the beers on the labels. So you talked just a little bit about distribution and you're expanding too. Any other future plans? Do you do barrel program kind of things? Are you looking at?
I mean, we do about 4 or 5 barrel aged beers a year. We just released a Imperial Cream Ale aged in Woods Reserve barrels. We're not doing a bunch of sours. It's not a style that I typically prefer. I understand the concept behind them and why people like them, but, it's just not something, that I'm into. I know, Cody, who is our head brewer right now, he's really into that stuff. And so he does some of it, but he does it off site just because we don't have, I don't want to have, an infection wreak havoc on the brewery. So, but we do, I mean, we do a little off wall stuff. Now we're not going to be that brewery who's coming out with a new beer every week, you know, to try and kind of be gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be that brewery, but we want our beers to be able to get out there and make a name for themselves, really, and not just come out with a beer to kind of come out with something quick to get people in, and then okay, come out with something next week because we need people in. That's just not who we are and not who we're going to be. And so we want our styles to stand out and be around for a while, and for people to love them and enjoy them like we do.
So, do you have a house beer, a flagship beer?
Yeah, Duke's. Duke's is our flagship beer.
Oh, all right.
A little bit of the story behind Duke's is he was my wife's. My wife and I got married in December of 2002, and Valentine's Day of 2003 in February, first Valentine's Day after we got married, I bought her a boxer puppy, and it was that was Duke that I got for her. And so when we started the brewery, he was with us all the time. He'd come to the brewery and hang out, and people just fell in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always wanted to do a beer for him just because he was up there and he was really, really a part of the brewery. And he got kidney disease and passed away in April of 2010. But we were able to do the beer about a year before he got really sick. And so I don't know, you know, it's a fantastic beer. I love the beer. But I don't know. Duke was such a lovable dog, and just, you know, I mean, every dog is a lovable dog, but everybody's got that one dog
right.
that, you know, was just above and beyond all the others. And I think he, so far he's been that for my wife and I. He's risen to number one. He stayed at that spot. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the beer and the way it's brewed in the style. But at the same time, I think people relate to that tap handle. You know, if other people have a boxer, they have a dog they love or this and that, they just relate to it. And it's our number one seller. Kilowell isn't far behind. I always think, you know, kind of around this time of the year, coming in the summertime, that Kilowell is going to kind of, you know, if it's time, here it comes, it's going to top it, but it doesn't. It just kind of sits there. Good man, how are you? It just kind of sits there. And, you know, Dukes will come up with it, and then Kilowell will kind of be, like, right behind it.
Yeah. Generally, Browns aren't the flagship beers. You know, you look at some of like a cream ale or something else that would, or a pale ale, that would be the flagship beer. So it's nice that it's something so, and just, you know, I'm reading the description here too, you know, chocolate and caramel and the nutty finish. Well, you know, what's not to love about that? So
it's after an English mild brown ale. It does use our house yeast in it. And it's really drinkable, and I just actually had some a little bit ago. It's a fantastic beer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's risen number one and stayed there. And when I brewed it, you know, it was just a brewer for Duke, and I wanted to match his fond color with it. And I think we just brought it out as a beer, you know, to kind of have the seasonal, and it just, it took off. Mm-hmm. And it's probably in, I don't know, maybe I would probably say 85 or 90% of the retail establishments in town here in Jacksonville.
So I'm looking at kind of leading into another topic here, because you've got a tap room as well, and then mm-hmm. you're talking about outside accounts. I'm curious, it seems to me that breweries that have a tap room, they do more business in their tap room than what one they thought they were going to, and more business out of their tap room just because it's a destination kind of thing. So is that
right?
Is that something that's similar? Do you find that true for you as well?
No, I mean, when we first put it all together, because you got to remember, we were the first brewery in Jacksonville, first microbrewery in Jacksonville. I mean, you got Anheuser-Busch here, but we were the first microbrewery in Jacksonville. And when we opened the tap room, we thought maybe we get 20 people a night. And we're only open Thursday, Friday, 3 to 11, and Saturday, 1 to 11. But it gets slammed. It blows my mind how many people come in there and hang out and just have a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always been open. You know, I mean, people ask me, well, can I bring the kids? It's like, hell yes, you can bring your kids. It's, you know, stop that attitude. Stop that way of thinking about a brewery. It's like, this is a place that a family should come and hang out and have a blast. And so we actually have popsicles for the kids. We've got, I'll call them craft sodas, but they're like novelty sodas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no high fructose corn syrup, no caffeine, things like that for the kids. Because we want them to come in and hang out as a family and have a good time. And that's just, I mean, that's the way we approach it. If other people approach that, you know, it's different, but, we want everybody to come in and have a good time, because when people sit down and have a beer, they should be having a good time. They should be able to, you know, I always think that two people who dislike each other, when they got to sit down and they got to figure things out and they got to work through stuff, they just sit down and have a beer with each other and work it out. Because when you're sitting down and having a beer, you should just be happy and having a good time and enjoying yourself.
That's true. Well, the last kind of subject that I had coming up was for us to discuss is food pairings. And, you know, I'm looking through the list here of some really, you know, things just jump out at me with cream ales, and then especially with brown ales that go well. Do you have any specific food pairings that when you're having a Duke's or Killer Whale or the Mad Manatee, which I love the artwork for that one, but the Mad Manatee, you know, I mean, do you have something that when you're having one of these beers that this is what you have to have when you're, you know, this is what you want to be eating when you're drinking that beer?
Well, no, I think you could eat any food with any beer. I mean, people go and will go, well, if it's a man-made IPA or if it's an IPA, you need something spicy. But it's like, no, I can have an IPA and a salad and enjoy myself.
There you go.
And so, you know, I don't like to pigeonhole things into certain, a certain type of beer into a certain, or with a certain type of food or whatnot. But, I mean, just, you know, I'd tell you what, when did you go to the CBC this year? Were you out there?
No, I wasn't. Washington? No.
Well, the brewer for New Belgium, his name escapes me right now, but he got out there and he said it right. He said, look, he said beer was brewed to be enjoyed. He had a nice, I think he's from Belgium, nice Belgian accent.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, don't get a 2 ounce pour at a festival and sit there and talk about it for 20 minutes. He's like, just enjoy it. And that's the thing. It's like, let's stop like overanalyzing every beer that we drink and just drink it and enjoy it.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I constantly remind myself, cause I try to, overanalyze it. But what I also tell people too, is that on that first 2-3 drinks of a brand new beer, that's what I'm going to do. So just sit back and relax while I get this one. Then on my second beer, I'm just going to drink that to enjoy it, definitely.
Well, that's right. And if you're in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I've got spicy food, I've got to find an IPA, you might miss out on something that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got that mindset of having to have an IPA with it. Or if you're having, a salad and you go, well, I got to have some light, it's got to be, Hefeweizen, or it's got to be a lager or a cream ale or something like that, then it's like, you might miss out on another fantastic pairing. Mm-hmm. It's just like, just have a beer that you want to drink and sit down and eat it with some food.
Yeah, I do. I spend a lot of my time trying to pull out some nuanced food pairings and writing about it, but that's one of the best things about, and I call them suggestions, and for that reason too, is that, who knows what you're going to find, and the fact that beer goes with any kind of food is going to enhance right. Any meal that you have is why it's such a fun thing to pair with anyway, to pair.
Right, because everybody will go, well, you need a nice crisp lager to eat with spicy chicken wings. So it's like, no, you don't. I've had a big old stout,
Right. Old
Rasputin with a thing of spicy chicken wings and loved it.
Yeah, and it's...
it's like, come on. It's like, let's just all have a good time and drink beer, and you might find something that goes really well together, and that's fantastic. You can pair that, but it's don't spend all your time trying to pair this food with this beer. I think that's popular right now. People like to do that because they did it with wine, and now, beer's trying to do it, but... instead of relax and have a homebrew like Charlie Papazian says, relax and have a craft beer. I don't know. It's just everybody relax, have a good time and enjoy it.
I think that's a perfect ending right there with relax and just enjoy your beer. So I think
that's right. Relax and enjoy it.
I think we'll leave it at that. Brian, thanks so much for hanging out with me, and we've gone well over the 20 minutes that I was considering. So I hope I'm not crimping any of your schedules here on the other side. So,
well, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And I tell you what, I mean, you get me started on talking about beer and my business and everything I love in life, and we can talk for hours. But,
yeah,
I have to come out to California. We'll sit down and have a couple beers and hang out.
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this edition of Brewery Highlights, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Cheers, everyone.